So we did the Rambam's position on mezuzah for shul and a base medrash last time. Okay, now we're getting into Rashi slash Tosfos, or Rashi and Tosfos, and how they view this issue. If you notice, by the way, it does seem to be a certain trend that it's very questionable why either or shuls and base medrashes require mezuzahs. It's interesting because if you look around shuls today, or base medrashes, you'll always find a mezuzah in front of them. Okay. So let's do this Gemara one more time, okay? But we're going to look at it through Rashi's lens. So who's one more time? So the Gemara says, I'm Rav Huna, I'm a Rav.
Asa k'min neger k'suva. So any is aso. Ha'ki asa Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef. Amar kulu mezuzasa today Rabbi k'min neger habu avitan. So he said that he saw that the mezuzahs like Rebbe were like neger.
Meaning Rebbe put his mezuzahs up like Kim and Neger. Okay, good. Where it says, so what's the, how do you resolve this problem?
So, Bahu Piska to Ayo, Be, Rebbe Le Midrasha, Lo Habi Le Mezuzah. Right, another addition is that when he went into the base medrash, his interest in him mezuzah.
Okay, so remember, and again, how does Rashi learn that case? Rashi?
Yes, his own little.
Right, Piska to Ayo, Be, Rebbe, Pesach Katan Hayel the Rebbe, Eitzel Mekombo, the Nichnas of Yatzabo. So he had this little room, little, what's the word for it? He had a little room. He had a little room that he'd go in and out of, right, from his home to the base medrash. Okay? So he went to Matriach as Talmidim. So did that pass out? So did that, it sounds like it was direct.
From his house.
Yeah, from his house. It doesn't mean from his house to the outside and then to the base medrash, because of course it's going to require a mezuzah. Rather, what's unique about the case is that it's an entranceway that is between his house and the base medrash. And what did he do? What did Rebbe do? You have a mezuzah there. Lo havala mezuzah. You didn't have a mezuzah there. So lo kasha. Well, hold on, lo kasha. Okay. So that we're not going to take that up anymore because that's the issue of how you understand kimin neger. Okay? But now the Gemara says, Aini, meaning the more important question is, or the question we're focused on is, the Pesach of the Beis Medrash requiring a mezuzah. Is it true that what? That the, a Beis Medrash, a Pesach for the Beis Medrash is pater from mezuzah? V'ha.
V'ha, ha'hu pischa, dehaba ayel ba, derapuna, lebe medrasha, babi le mezuzah.
Right, but there was a Pesach that Rav Huna had to the Beis Medrash. Now again, if you learned it like Rashi's way, it would sound like it's the same case, okay? That he had that little transitionary room, right? And he had a mezuzah there.
Right.
He says, no. Ha'hu.
Common way of going.
Right, meaning people would the rove and nechnasim to the base medrash would use that pesach. Okay? That's a good question. Okay. Right, so that's a logistics question. But the point though is that what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying there's a difference between this type of, well, let's put it simple. Let's make it simple. A pesach to the base medrash. Okay? There's a difference between saying it's the pesach that everyone walks through versus the Pesach that only he walks through. Okay? Okay. Now that's talking about Beis Medrash, right? That's talking about Beis Medrash. Not about what? Not about shuls. Okay? Note, if anyone paid attention to preparing, you notice that Rashi's here only talking about a Beis Medrash, not about shuls. Okay? That's why I brought that Gemara and Yuma in. The Gemara and Yuma and the Gemara Brachas are talking about shuls. Not base medrashes. That's a separate question. Okay? It's a good question. What? Well, that's a good question. Why would a shul and a base medrash be different?
They have a different status in Kedusha.
The Rambam equates them. The Rambam says shul, base medrash are the same. They're Makom Shel Kedusha. Okay. Let's take a look at Tosfos quickly.
It's more likely that someone will consider that a shul there, their sleeping place.
Who says anything about sleeping place? Sleeping place? What? No. Oh, okay. Right. So, what does Tosfos say? Tosfos says v'ha. So he says mitoch. So the language of the Gemara implies what?
That's the opening of a house that exits to a base medrash.
Right. So Tosfos makes it clear the only time a base medrash would be the only entrance way that would be required to a base medrash to have a mezuzah is one where it's going from your house into the base medrash. Okay, but Beis Medrash itself, about Pesach Beis Medrash, that's more the Bayim Mezuzah. He's all these proofs, right? All these proofs.
And it's the right, and the left side going into the base
measure, right? Talmud doesn't learn Pesach. Yerushalmi learns it's the base measure for Rav Huna. Okay? And Achinami, you're right. That's just a question. Right, that's a good question. In other words, if you're going to tell me it is the Pesach of the bias, then what do I care how often people go in and out? Right? That's what you're asking, right? All right, that little line. The Rush is based on like Tosfos, right? Right, but you see that. What do you see at the end there by the Maharam? V'chein base midrash shel Maharam. Hayo bo mezuzah. Right. So as soon as you use the base midrash of the Maharam, had a mezuzah. Right. V'amar.
Oh, that's the interesting part.
Yeah. Keep going.
Right. Right.
Interesting. That's classic Maharam. So what happened? What did he do? What did he do?
He would take afternoon naps
in the base medrash, right? Yeah. And then what happened over time? Ruach Ra wasn't happy about it, right? And eventually, by that coming in, what did it force him to do? Put a mezuzah. Okay. Now, what's the implication there, though? No. Okay. So right, there has got to be something halachic going on. So Darius is right. There's something about the fact that he took a nap. Forget the Ruach Ra. There's something about the fact he took a nap that's indicating something about why the base medrash would require a mezuzah. Okay. So that's base medrash. Okay. So a little confusing that base medrash what to do. And what about a shul? So Rashi splits off base medrash from shul. Because you look at this Rashi over here on the Gemara in Yuma, right? Rashi says base knesses de krachim, right? Shehu makom, which is what? Okay, which what he really means is public. Okay, it's public thoroughfares. Okay, umitzkatzin shamin komas harbe, and people come from all over. Okay, vihi. Now the shul is what? Hasuya. The ainla. Okay, so Rashi's positing a different reason for a shul. By shul, why would a shul? Why would a shul be putter from a zuzah? No bailus. No, well, it's interesting. Ain law bailam yuchadim, meaning a committee owns it. The town owns it. Like this building, it's a municipal building. So for some reason, Rashi's saying a municipal building, to be clear, is he saying because shul, or is he saying that a municipal building in general doesn't require mezuzah? Okay, so hold on. So Rashi's peeling away shul, but in peeling away shul, it sounds like you'd have to take with them municipal buildings as well, meaning any building that has no Baal Miyuchad, right, is Pater from Mezuzah. Question is, why? Okay. Yeah. So Rashi says by a smaller one called Baal of Nikarim. Okay, called Baal of Nikarim, meaning if it's a smaller municipal building, or let's say a shul, if you know all the owners, right, let's say, by the way, as a good example, this isn't a great example here, but saying there's like two or three guys in the shul who are like the head honchos, right? Let's take up the shul case first. That's much easier. Don't worry about the base measure stuff. The shul case, right? So what do you say here by the shul? What does it mean to say that you need bailam yuchadim, right? Or bailam nikarim, that the bailam have to be recognizable. Why?
Wait, even if they were nikarim.
It's not there's no bailam here at all, but there's something about it being, I don't know what that line is, but there's something about being rabim, right? Rabim, something about the fact that it's like a rabim idea. So that's close enough. That's close enough. Okay. In other words, what Joffrey I think is trying to say. That's fine. In other words, there is. I don't know what that line is. That's not our problem. The Gemara uses kfarim and whatever. That's our kikarim. That's not our issue. What the line is, but it's saying there's two kinds of structures. Okay, where you have multiple owners. Okay, one kind of structure is where you have multiple owners, and each one, so to speak, could exercise. Or would exercise their ma'aseh dira. I mean, they can exercise their control over it through acts of dira. I don't mean control bailus wise. I'm saying it's roy that each one could do an act of dira. But there's a certain point where a building becomes a public thoroughfare building, where there is, it's not that there's no owners, it's just that there's no one I can point to and say that person is the, what do you call it, is the baal. And therefore, but it's sectioning off the idea of dira completely from it. That's the key. There's a certain point you can have in a type of building where it's public to the point where the very notion of dira is no longer present. It could be that there's a point where, like, I don't know what that number is. It could be because their share is so small. Could be. Right, because you could argue municipal building also. Technically speaking, municipal building is owned by us, so to speak, right? Right, exactly, right. There's a certain point. I say something about a corporation, too. There's a certain point where your ownership is so insignificant that is no. It's you cleave off the idea of dira completely. Yeah. That's it. That's exactly the point. Yeah, thank you. You're all living there. That's the point. By a shul, there's like a municipal building is set up in a way where, that's why, I mean, so he's right. Like Rashi says, people are constantly going in and out, meaning the makom doesn't lend itself to living in, nor does the way it is owned lend itself to any expression of dira. It's removed as much as possible from dira. The Beis Medrash is different than a shul. Why is the Beis Medrash different than a shul? Well, okay, that's a bad question to ask. In many ways, the Beis Medrash is different than a shul, but there's something about a Beis Medrash. Just think practically.
You never relate to another public thoroughfare.
Just more than that. Forget that. That's not true. I mean, well, think about it. Just on a basic level. Come on, you've got to be a little yeshivish here, okay? What makes a shul, right? Just on a most practical level, what makes a shul different than Beis Medrash when it comes to, just initially when you're thinking about mezuzah? Why would you separate them? What? There, now we're talking. By a Beis Medrash, a shul and a Beis Medrash are very different because by a shul, shuls are made for tefillah, right? So how often is the shul being used, so to speak?
Three times a day,
right? And so it's not met. Shuls are not shul. But Beis Medrash, you're doing acts of dira in a Beis Medrash all the time. And by acts of dira, don't just mean eating, because there's a whole question we can eat or drink or sleep in the Beis Medrash. That's why I think the Maharam's case is important. By sleeping there, he's indicating he's doing an act of dira. But forget that. Point is that by Beis Medrash, when you're learning here all the time, it leaves the area being an arai type makam to a kavua makam. Meaning, what do you do in the Beis Medrash? You're doing acts of dira by being here the whole day. But that makes Beis Medrash is very interesting then, because it's not your home, right? It's not the classic acts of dira, which are eating, drinking, sleeping. But and how do I know? How does Ginsburg know? How does Ginsburg know that learning is an expression of dira?
Oh, like
you see from the Gemara and Sukkah that you're supposed to do learning inside your Sukkah, because learning is an act of dira-ing. It's a type of dira, right? It's a ma'aseh dira. So I had to make that up. Okay, I know. See, once in a while. Okay, so now, okay, so now, that being the case, okay, that at least can show us why a Beis Medrash would be different than a shul, okay? But now that doesn't answer the Beis Medrash issue. It's just saying why the variables are different. By a shul, shuls lend themselves to being, let's say, not everyone agrees to separate them. I'm saying Rashi does. Other shitas do not separate them. They say if one's part of the other's part there. But just by Rashi, you could see that shuls lend themselves to being public municipal buildings, whereas a Beis Medrash doesn't. And you're right, a person has their own makam, but it's not just your own makam kavua. The building is one that is kavua, meaning it's set up for acts of dira. That's what you do, like you're doing right now. You're sipping your coffee, you're learning. That's what you spend a lot of...
That seems to run completely contrary to the business
Medrash. Okay, so now we have a problem, though, because... we'll see. I didn't say... I said
people would frequent the door of the Beit Knesset.
Let's understand... Let's understand what's going on with the Beit Medrash, okay? And I'm not saying a Beit Medrash can't be like a shul. I'm just saying... that's how it presents a difference, because Rashi never mentions anything about bilus when it comes to the case of the Beis Medrash. That's only by shuls, okay? That to me is an indicator. So now let's get to the Beis Medrash issue. So let's take up the Gemara. Let's take up this Pesach business. You have the Pesach Beis Medrash. You have the Pesach to the Beis Medrash. You have the Pesach of the house Beis Medrash. What do you guys have to say about all this stuff? How do we define this?
It's a good question.
So to focus on the question, what is it about that Pesach? This unique Pesach. It's not a Peshitta. This idea that the Pesach that went from his home to the Beis Medrash required a mezuzah. But the Beis Medrash itself didn't require a mezuzah.
Right.
So what you have is, as an example, imagine, you have the doorway from the house to the Beis Medrash has a mezuzah, but the Beis Medrash itself, no mezuzah. Why? In other words, what makes the Beis Medrash unique is, a Beis Medrash is a place where you do acts of dira, right? But there's no gavra hadar. You would never say that you are an individual who lives there. It's a place where you do actions of living. But you're not a gavra hadar in a Beis Medrash. You're only gavra hadar where? Right. So what Darius is suggesting is that you need a mezuzah there because you're going from a place where you're a gavra hadar to a makam where you're doing ma'aseh dira, right? But no other room in the Beis Medrash would require it, because when you're coming from outside, you're what?
Not anything.
It's only... So what about Rugel? What does Rugel have to do with this?
Right.
What does Rugel have to do with this?
That's what I'm saying. If you look at it the other way, you're probably going to leave you.
Right. Isn't that what you're basically saying?
Well,
right.
It shows you which direction the door was.
You need Rav Nechdasim to demonstrate. Just because Rav had a room, that doesn't tell me that that room is the one that he's using for the base medrash. Yeah. That in that case, I mean, I'm not getting into whether you're Patr or Chayv. I'm saying, but in that case, we don't know. It's a question mark, right? But you're saying Rav Nechdasim means that now.
Yeah, why don't you say be Chayv on the other side? Of the
right, that's a good question. Why wouldn't be? Oh, because you can argue
well,
that.
It's chutz lev nim kind of idea, like it's not going from outside into.
Correct. Exactly. It's not outside. It's a building, but it's not outside.
Right.
But you need Rav Nechdasim to demonstrate this is the direction, yeah, that this doorway is the one being used to go into the base medrash. Then you can create the chiyuv. That's what Rav must mean. Rav is giving it its definition as being, that's the direction it goes in. It's almost like a hacker tzir type of case. I mean, we don't know if it's private. We just don't know. We don't know. There's no clear direction. Okay. How does Tosos... How does Tosfos learn? But Tosfos learns a little differently, right? How does Tosfos learn the differentiation between Rav Huna and Rebbe's case? He learns a little bit differently. If you saw it carefully, how does Tosfos differentiate it? What's his differentiation? He doesn't learn it insofar as the Pesach is concerned. He learns it so far as base medrash itself. Meaning, if it's a public base medrash, that does not require a mezuzah. But if it's my own private base medrash, okay, like I want to have it in my house, like my own private base medrash, then it would require a mezuzah. The question is, why should my private base medrash require mezuzah? If it's a base medrash, it should be putter. But think about what Kanarik is saying. He doesn't even realize what he's saying. If you're correct, if you're telling me that it's because it's a base medrash, right? But I have bialis on it, and because of the bialis, that's why I had to put up a mezuzah, then you'd have to say the reason why that a base medrash is what? A base medrash is really a home, right? That's lacking one thing, which is bialis, right? Meaning you're going to say Tosfos is going to swing it back into the arena of bialis. And why doesn't a base medrash require mezuzah? Really, because I'm doing aksadira in there. It should require mezuzah. It's just lacking one thing. Right, so meaning you could argue the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos is, Rashi would say a base medrash is just a place I do my sedira. But it's not a bias. But it could be that Tosfos holds it's a base medrash, meaning it's a bias. It is a bias. It's just lacking one thing. It's lacking bilis. So this is the other famous question that comes up, which is we didn't even get to this. It's an amazing thing, by the way, in this Gemara. We're going to get to Yamin or Small later. We're not even ready for that yet. But let's assume for now we know it goes on the right side. Okay.
Isn't that how we learn for
Tefillin? We're going to get to that.
Okay.
But what's interesting here is where does the mezuzah go height wise? Okay. Where does it go height wise? Okay. Right, so everyone should be familiar with this, right? So Amar Zera, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel. Very, very difficult language. Okay, what does Tchilas Shlish Elyon mean?
The beginning, the bottom of the top third of the
door. Right. So if you divide your doorposts, no. Divide your doorpost into thirds, right? So two thirds of the, like if he says carefully, two thirds of the way up, or the bottom of the top third.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
that's your
position.
Oh, okay, right. So, meaning he wants the bottom, assuming you hold like Rashi, the bottom of the vertical part of the mezuzah should be at the border of the third to two thirds. Okay.
Or maybe it should be off
the border. Keep going.
Rav Hun Amar, Megave
Magbia.
Magbia Mina Karka Tepa, Gamarthik Mina Kora Tepa.
Amazing. So he says no. Right? Wait a second. Well, okay, he's saying that the mezuzah, right? He's saying that the lowest it could be is a tefach off the ground. Okay? 100%. He says, the call Pesach kula kashra mezuzah. So Rav Huna holds that the entire Pesach is kashra mezuzah except for that tefach close to the bottom. Doesn't matter where I put it. Okay? Now, there's two things to define here, obviously. Well, actually, one of them is obvious, which is, what's a machlokas shlish versus the, but there's another more subtle question asking Rav Huna's position, which is
why the
tefach? Meaning, why didn't Rav Huna just say the whole entire mezuzahs?
No, because
so okay, so put an inch off the ground. What? Go on, Macy Bay. Magbia. Oh, well, now he adds another thing. He says not so fast because Rav Huna just says I got to be magbia a tefach. But what does this question come along and ask? Rav Huna says that it must be a tefach from the bottom and it must be a tefach from the top. So my mezuzah zone is shrinking rapidly, but it's tevach from the top and tevach from the bottom. So that's the zone it's in. Okay, and then Rav Yossi Omer. This is bad. Okay, you guys remember this in Tfilin? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We did this in Tfilin. Ukshartam le'os al yadecha, right? Vayutot vos beinecha, right? So, and then it says right afterwards, ukshartam amzos beisecha vizrecha. Mak shira.
Gova.
Okay, which is where the Tfilin Shorosh goes where? Well, okay,
top of your
head. No.
Top of your face.
The top of your face, right. Okay? Mary, you know that Svara. Top of your face, right? So the top of your face, so too, aksiva bagova. So too, the mezuzah has got to be?
Which is
where?
The third. Yeah.
Okay, the third, okay? So the Gemara says, right. So bishlama the Rav Huna. So Rav Huna likes up like Rav Yehuda. Again, they're going to learn that Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda are the same, meaning they have a zone. Okay, they have a zone where the mezuzah belongs. But so who does Shmuel hold like? Meaning Shmuel said shlish, right? What's his name? Rav Yossi said gova mezuzah. Who does Shmuel line up like? Shmuel says shlish. Meaning the Gemara thinks that Rav Yehuda's position, Rav Yossi's position, and Shmuel's positions aren't the same. The Gemara says, "Come on, lo k'rebi Yossi," because Rav Yehuda holds, "I got this much to work with, right?" And Rav Yossi says, "Gova," which would sound like where?
The top,
meaning it has to be the top of the third. But that's not what Shmuel says. Shmuel says, okay." So the Gemara says, "Amr Huna Brei Derav Nasan Laolam."
K'rebi Yossi.
Umay tchila shlish alyon.
Deka amar le harfika shalar harfika min hakora shamala yoter mishlish.
So he's saying you're right. It should go in the third area. It should be towards the top of the third. But Shmuel is just coming to modify Rav Yossi to say make sure it's not lower than that third. Meaning once you leave the third, you can't say in gova anymore. Okay. Lots of stuff to define here. Okay.